If you'll turn your Bibles to Psalm 11. This is a short psalm, just seven verses that we find here. And this psalm is the Psalm of David, and it is to the chief musician. We see there in the title, Psalm of David. It is the Kaf psalm. It is the 11th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The Kaf, or the Kaf, is its pictograph is an open hand, the palm of that open hand, and it means to feed, to cover, to open, to allow. It means ultimate crowning, that open palm, and it, of course, speaks of Jesus as our safety, the one that we run to, the one that we trust in, and that's exactly the very theme of it here when we read this particular psalm. It reminds me, and of course, I'll get to this in a moment when we see the division of the psalm. But notice with me what it says in verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an evil tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doth behold the upright. Here, David's psalm here again, short seven verses. David is describing here his trust in the Lord. We see two parts to this psalm. The first three verses 1-3, David describes the temptation that's brought on him. Temptation of those around him to run from the things that's coming against him, the troubles, the trials, whatever the case may be, to run from those things. And then he describes the second portion, verses 4-7, and he describes here or declares here the arguments for which his courage is sustained in the Lord. Why he's not going to run. He's going to stand in the Lord and be faithful to him in his service and in his way for the Lord. Now, some have surmised that this was written by David at a time when Saul was trying to kill him, and he was receiving some advice from others to go on and run and get out of the way and hide. And David's saying, if that's the case, David's saying, I'm not going to do that. I trust the Lord. But we know David did run and hide from Saul on a few occasions to keep from having, not that he was scared of Saul, but to keep from having to fight Saul, because he considered Saul God's anointed, and he did not feel like it was his place or his responsibility to do with Saul what the Lord was going to do with Saul. It wasn't David's right to enact that judgment. He was going to let God do that because Saul was still God's anointed. So I don't know if this is directly associated with David as much as it is pointing to the advice that our Lord received. Because again, all these psalms have Jesus in view. He's the one that is the one in view. Of course, you've got several applications you can make. You can use these to look at Israel. You can use these to look at God's people. But Jesus is the one that's in view in everything, and he's the one that we should look for when we're looking at these songs here unto the Lord. This is exactly some of the things that he received, some of the very warnings that he endured. One of those, hold your place here, go back with me to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we see here one example of these warnings for him to get out. There in verse 21 of Matthew 16, this is right at the end of the Lord's life when he's getting ready to go to the cross, and these events that are lining up, bringing him to Jerusalem, and all these things that's going to take place in Jerusalem to him. It says there in verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So here we have Peter saying, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. You're not going to face those. You're not going to endure these things. You're not going to have these sufferings that you're talking about. That's not going to be the case. I'm going to be with you for one. And he tells him later on, I'll go with you even unto the death. Jesus said, make fun. You'll deny me three times before the cock crows. But here, Peter rebukes the Lord. Run. Get away from here. This is not what's going to happen to you. And the Lord's answer to him, verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. My trust. He's saying the same thing that David says here in Psalm 11. My trust is in the Lord. My trust is in the Lord. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, even with of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So here he declares he's trusting the Lord. He's going to do what the Father has set in order for him to do. And so when we read in our text there in Psalm 11, he begins with that very point there in verse number 1, in the Lord put I my trust. And then he says, why are you tempting me with these questions? How say you to my soul? He says, flee as a bird to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart. Run, they're after you. Run, they're going to try to kill you if they can. They're going to ambush you. You better run. And then their argument for why he should run, verse number 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you're killed, what hope do we have? If they get you, what then are we going to do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? You need to run. You need to get out of here. You need to protect yourself. How often have we faced the trials and the tribulations and the situations of life, and we say, all right, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make it what I want it to be, and I'm going to get the result out of it that I want to get out of it, and we twist and we turn and we fight and we struggle and we do our best to do everything we can to manipulate it to the direction we want to manipulate it, and sometimes even we take off running to get away from it, and we try to get out and try to get away and try to escape what it is, instead of simply trusting the Lord and say, Lord, this is yours. Lord, take it. Lord, work it. Lord, do as you please with it, and let me be faithful to follow you in it. We say, we put our trust in the Lord. We say, as he says here, in the Lord put I my trust. But then when it comes to us, we want to try to control it, and we want to try to do with it what we want it done. We want to manipulate. We want to mold. We want to make, so we get the result out of it that we want. Instead of letting the Lord work. In the Lord put I my trust. These questions, this advice that he receives here is not necessarily from an enemy. These well-meaning folks, their desire is well-meaning. They think they've got your best at heart when they say run, get out, get away as fast as you can. They think they're giving you advice to protect you when they've not taken into account what is it that the Lord is working in this. What is it that He's doing? What is it that He's accomplishing in this? And it is the struggle of faith for us as the children of God that is so hard. So hard. It's easy for us to say, in the Lord, I put my trust. But it's another thing to absolutely let go and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know how it's supposed to be. I just know that if you're the one that's in control, and I give it to you. It's easy to hear these arguments. It's easy to say, yeah, you're right. What good does it do for me to get caught? What good does it do for me to get ensnared? What good does it do for the wicked to get me? Yeah, maybe I should run. Maybe I should just fix it myself. What did Jesus tell Peter there? Get behind me, Satan. Why do you use such strong language to Peter? Peter wasn't Satan. Why do you use such strong language to him? Because Peter's advice was to tell the Lord, ignore what God is telling you to do. Do what's natural. Do what makes sense normally. Don't do what the Father's telling you to do. You do what men think is best for you to do. And what men think is best to do is never the pattern of what God says is. So they're counseled to flee, to trust yourself, to take care of you. The response there is in verses 4 through 7 of why in the Lord put I my trust. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence His soul hateth. Upon the wicked He shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Why is his trust in the Lord? Because the Lord is still in absolute control. Absolute control. He's not lost any control. Yeah, it may look like the foundations are about to be destroyed, but He's still the one in control. He's the one that still holds it in the place. He's the one that still holds it in His hand. He's still the one that keeps it. And so David says, and the Lord says here, my trust is in the Lord because He's the one in control. He will accomplish all that He has set forth to accomplish. He is still the sovereign God. He sits on His throne. He still reigns. He sees it all. He knows exactly what's going on. He will mete out judgment as it needs to be meted out, but He knows exactly what's taking place and He holds it all. He's the one that's in control. And so in the Lord, put I my trust. The Lord is in His holy temple. His throne is still in heaven. He's not given up any of that. No matter how hard the battle may seem, no matter how the wicked may rage, no matter how difficult the path may get, He's still in heaven. He's still on his throne. He still rules. He still reigns. There is nothing out of his control. The Lord will allow, he tells us here, the Lord will allow trials to come on his faithful. The Lord tried the righteous. And so he says this, yeah, the wicked are lying probably to kill me. This is just one of those trials that the Lord's allowed in my life. This is just one of the things that he's allowed to come in. This is just one of the things he's allowed to strengthen me, to build me up in him. So in the Lord, put I my trust. He trieth the righteous, but the wicked, and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God hates the wicked. He hates wickedness. His judgment will be meted out. They will not get by. They will not slide by. Though it looks like for a time they are here on this earth, as they continue and they build homes and they build farms and they gather great wealth, and it looks like the wicked are getting by wonderfully. It looks like everything's going their way. They're not escaping the eye of the sovereign God. He sees it all. Judgment will be meted out. Upon the wicked, he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. Great violence, great destruction is going to be poured out upon those that love that violence and love that wickedness. For the righteous, he says, the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. And how are we righteous? All because of the very one who says, in the Lord, put I my trust. We are only righteous by the righteousness of Christ. We are only righteous by the righteousness of Christ. We have it no other way. We can get it no other way. There's no work that you can do to perform to get to that level, to attain righteousness before the throne of God. It is all by Christ. All by Him. That we are made righteous before the throne of God. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. So why would I run? Why would I seek to fix it myself? Why would I try to do it my way? When my Lord is in absolute control. When he is not only in control, but he tells me in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he's going to work everything for my good. Why would I want it any other way than the way the Lord will do it? In the Lord. In the Lord put I my trust. He is in absolute control. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed tonight.